Quest for Truth, Episode 277.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts, Keith Helsley and Nathan Caldwell.
Welcome, everyone. This is Rose Keith, and it's time again for Quest for Truth, where we try to take a casual look at our world around us, different worldviews, but we also take it seriously when we talk about the scripture. And with all the chatter around about social issues, which right now shall be unnamed, read the paper, you'll figure it out. I thought I would do something different and basically present the answer to what I feel would resolve a lot of issues out there, namely the gospel. Jesus is the answer, is the truth, but how? What does that look like? Well, in a little bit, you'll hear me presenting as best I can a passage from Romans. I'll have Nathan Caldwell interject a message. It's interesting. He records it all in roughly 12 minutes, and I asked him to re-record a bit that we presented way back, episode 3 and 4, 5 years ago or more. It took us 2 episodes and probably more than 2 hours of chatter to get it all out. I guess it's just how much we interrupted each other back then. But the important thing is, this passage in Romans tells what sin is and why we need help. And Nathan presents the gospel message, I mean, full and complete. And I'll wrap up with a final thought on, hey, now maybe you're saved, now what? Because struggles are still there. That we can find victory over the struggles of sin in our life, in our world today. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So here we go, right after this.
Andrew Rappaport's Rap Report is a podcast providing biblical interpretations and applications. It is a ministry of striving for eternity and part of the Christian podcast community. We provide a biblical view of cultural events, discuss how to apply God's word to the Christian life, address issues that concern the church, and we even take some time to offer a correct understanding of those commonly misinterpreted passages of scripture. You will hear from great guests like Justin Peters, Todd Friel, J. Warren Wallace, and Gabe Hughes. Andrew has the Rap Report Daily, which is a 2-minute Monday through Friday podcast, and then the longer Rap Report podcast for more content. Subscribe to both today by searching for Rap Report on any podcast app, spelled R-A-P-P Report, or click the podcast link at strivingforeternity.org.
All right. That, of course, was one of our fine fellow podcasters at Christian Podcast Community, located at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Here we go. Main topic.
Main topic.
I apologize, folks, for the outside sounds. There's going to be some traffic, probably some birds chirping out in my outdoor office. It's honestly the quietest place. There's just too many other obstacles to wrangle, and even this sometimes is precarious. But I wanted to make sure I record this so I have it in time to share. And it's basically straight from Romans chapter 7, and it's some notes I have titled Confidence of Victory Over Sin. And I thought this would be a pretty good timely topic given the nature of our
wacky world today. There's just so much goofiness, weirdness happening in social circles. We've talked about before on this podcast, and there's just so many people talking about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. But I do want to talk about the solution, and it's not social justice matters that people think it might be. It is victory over sin. As we get going in dealing with some of these struggles that adults of all kinds face today, hopefully this, I don't want to call it discussion because it's just me here right now, but going over these notes I have, maybe they'll help understand what the solution is and why it's important. I have to ask, do you ever wonder if victory over all these world sins is even possible? You would think that if people knew that they could claim victory, that they would, but in the world today, they have a misguided answer of what the solution is. And even in the world of Christianity, sometimes we know the victory is there, but we still fall prey to sin in our lives. With that said, let's try at least develop some confidence that we can have victory over sin. Let's look at sin defined as Paul defines it here. I'm going to start in verse 7. Romans 7:7. And we can read to about verse 12 or so, and then we'll stop and pause. But victory is far more likely in life if you know your enemy. And why do we call it enemy? Well, let's read these verses and then we'll figure this out. In verse 7, what then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet, had it not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandments, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. Let me pause there. That's verse 8, by the way. This, to me, right off the bat here, Paul is almost personifying sin. He's saying, you know, he's almost saying sin is doing these things. Sin is the enemy, which is what we're going to get to, but let's keep on going. Verse 9, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. Verse 12, so the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. And let's stop there at verse 12. Wow, that's an amazing final statement there. He's saying that it's the law that taught him how to sin, almost what it sounds like. That, you know, it's not. Then he says the law is good. It's not that the law causes sin. The law is good, is what he is saying. So is the law our enemy? He would say, by no means. What is our enemy then? He's saying that sin is our enemy. That the purpose of the law identifies and defines sin. The law clearly establishes God's standard. But somehow, the law provokes sin. How does it do that? Well, I couldn't talk about how kids, when you tell them don't do a thing, they do the thing anyway. But I'm reminded, and I think I may have shared this on the podcast before, years ago in the Marine Corps, jungle training, Okinawa, CTA, Central Training Area, for those who really want to know. The first day we arrived, we had classes, the instructor would tell us, hey, we're going to have a lot of fun out here doing some land navigation, doing some rappelling, doing some fun stuff, but some stuff you got to know walking through these woods while you're having all this fun. You're going to see a centipede. It looks like this, and he held up a picture. You can pick it up and pet it, and it will bite you, and you will die. Look, here's a picture of a snake. It's called a two-step. You pick it up, and you want to think you want to dance with it? Well, you'll try to have fun with it. It'll bite you. You'll die. It's called a two-step because once it bites you, you take about two steps, and you fall over dead. So what he's trying to say is... he's trying to say there's some dangerous things. Now, the instructor was actually using the opposite. He wasn't saying, don't pick up the centipede, don't pick up the snake. He was saying, oh, yeah, go ahead and pick it up. Because he didn't want to do this thing where you tell a kid don't, and it suddenly just has to do it. But the point here, too, is the instructor bad? Well, no. He wants to see us all come out of this alive. Is the snake bad? Is the centipede bad? No, it's just doing what it does. You know, but it's dangerous when it comes into contact with dumb jarhead marines out there walking through the woods who don't know any better. But now the jarheads have the law. They have the word from the instructor. Now it's up to our own sinful desire. Are we going to pick up that snake anyway? So, see, this is what I was talking about. The law is good. Sometimes it provokes an evil response in us because our own human nature says, oh, come on, it's not that bad to pick up that snake or that centipede. Let's go ahead and do it anyway. Moving on along, struggle with sin. And let's look at Romans chapter 7, 13 through 20. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might be sinful beyond measure. Now, there's a lot to unpack there. What he's saying is that, let me read this again. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might be shown sinful beyond measure. So as you said, the law was just defining a danger. It's not the law. It's not that instructor that says don't touch that critter. It's just showing us there's a danger. Let's move on to verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good, meaning that the law is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Verse 18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Verse 20, and we'll pause after this one. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Okay. Now, can you see a wrong conclusion that somebody might draw from that? I remember back in the 60s, maybe you don't, Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. It was a popular saying that he had. And if that was true, the devil made me do it, then guess who the devil is? Look in the mirror, people. Something's sinful. You want to do what's good, but you end up not doing what's good. It's not the fault of the law. The law is just saying there's dangerous stuff. It's us. And it's not the law making us do it. It's us. We can have the desire to do good, but we are weak. Our flesh is weak, and we can't do what's right on our own. The part about where it says sins being full beyond measure, I'm kind of paraphrasing that a little bit. What that kind of means is that because, in this case Paul is talking, he knows what he's doing is wrong. He knows he can't help it. His body craves this thing that the law says is bad. But because that's happening, the law said that would happen, and it's happening, so say the law is being proved correct because of that desire. And because we decide to follow through on it, that makes our sin all the much worse, because that sin desire overrides our mental, our spiritual desire to follow the law. And that's why it's proved worse beyond measure. But just the fact we're made out of flesh makes us incapable of following God's law. It makes us powerless. And, you know, it's not just enough to know it. And because we can know it, but we still disobey anyway. I just can't emphasize that enough. I mean, just think of people in our society. I mean, they don't know the law. I mean, as far as what the Bible says, they know it because they know they want justice, they want fairness, they want something that's not there. They're not being satisfied by the righteousness of society as it is. It bothers me sometimes because they say, oh, well, I don't need God. He's not working in my life anyway. It's like, well, yeah, because you don't have him in your life. We talked before on a previous show about how certain groups want to dismantle the nuclear family, dismantle having a man in the house. Well, you know what? The reason why the nuclear family is not working for you, because you don't have that. You don't have a family with a man and a woman and kids. You don't have woman and kids. It's not working for you because you don't have it. Now that we know that, what can we do about it? Well, as long as you are in your own selfish desire, you're going to be sitting there spinning your wheels because you are powerless. You may desire it all your being, but all by yourself is not attainable. Now, in all of this, Paul isn't trying to escape responsibility. Like I said, the devil made me do it attitude. He's just trying to emphasize how strong a hold sin has on our lives. All right, let's take a break from that. And as promised, here is Nathan Caldwell with an important word.
Let's talk about the world's need for a savior. The question could be posed and should be that if you were to die right now, are you absolutely sure that you'd go to heaven? Let me put it to you this way. If you were to die right now and you were standing at the throne of God and he were to ask you, why should I let you in to my heaven? What would your answer be? Well, for a bunch of people, they would say you can't know whether you're going to heaven or not. Others would say something to the effect of, I think I would be okay because I'm a good guy, I'm a nice guy. Others may say they're just not sure. But the good news is that heaven is a free gift. It's a free gift. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Heaven is a free gift. It cannot be earned or deserved. If I was to buy you a car and you were to, and I was to say, hey, this is yours. I'm giving it to you. And you just reach in your pocket. She's like, oh, I got to give you something for it. You reach in your pocket. And all you had was a dime. And you pull out, here, now I've given you something for it. Now it's not free. That's an insult to me for two reasons. One, I was giving you the car. Two, that car's worth a whole lot more than a dime. Dime cars don't run. it's worth a whole lot more. Well, same could be said in a sense about eternal life and our trying to earn it. You see, Isaiah 64:6 tells us that our works are like filthy rags to God. Our righteousness are as filthy rags to God. And to offer God filthy rags for something he wants to give us for free is nasty. It's messed up. Yes, heaven is a free gift. But it's clear when you look at what the Bible says about man. You see, man is a sinner. Every one of us, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And man cannot save himself. Look at suppose I was to make a 10-egg omelet. And I had 9 good eggs, and the last egg was kind of messed up. It was rotten, actually. It was not kind of messed up. It was definitely messed up. It smelled, but I thought, I've got 9 good eggs in there. This one rotten won't hurt it. And I put that in there, and I cooked that thing. Would you eat it? I know I wouldn't. Why? Because there's a rotten egg in there. It ruins the rest of it. And that's how it is with our sin. We can't save ourselves because our sins ruin us. Suppose you just committed 3 sins a day. Do you know, when you add it all up, that's over 1,000 sins a year. Can you imagine a criminal standing before a judge with over 70,000 sins to answer for, or 70,000 crimes to answer for, which, by the way, is what sin is. It's disobedience against God. It's a crime against God is what a sin is. 70,000 crimes to answer for. Judge would throw the book at you. And that's what's going to happen to those who do not trust Christ. Heaven is a free gift. Can't be earned or deserved. Man is a sinner. cannot save himself. And the problem is issued, and things become a little clearer when we look at what the Bible says about God, who is a loving God and doesn't want to punish us. The Bible says God is love. But in Exodus 34:7, we see that God is a God who does not by any means clear the guilty. And by clear, of course, we mean wipe the slate clean, no justice is done. But God's not going to do that because God's a just God and he has to punish sin. He has to. And rightly so. You be the judge. If a criminal comes in front of you and you're, we're talking about a right judge, not some kind of, we're talking about somebody who's doing the job of a just judge. Criminal comes in front of you and says, hey, I realize that I stole that money, but you guys got it back and nobody was hurt. Can you just let me go? Not if you're a just judge, you won't. God is the most just of judges. He must punish sin. And in all honesty, I don't know. I don't think I want a judge, I'm sorry, a God who is not just, because there's a lot of evil in this world. I mean, even people who are atheists talk about the evil in the world. There's a lot of evil in this world. There's a lot of evil people in this world. Do I want them to repent? Yes, I do. But if they don't, I sure don't want them to go away scot-free. Yeah, God's a loving God, but he's also a just God, and he has to punish sin. So there is, in our situation, it would look like a dilemma, but God had a solution. Had a solution from the foundation of the world. You see, God solved this problem in the person of Jesus Christ, who was God that became man. Down here on earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and rose from the dead so that we could have our sins paid for. I like what Ray Comfort says. It's like a judge issuing you a fine and then stepping down from the judge's bench, taking off his robe and saying, I'm going to pay the fine for you. That's what God did for us in Jesus Christ. He paid the fine for us. This is received by faith. I'll tell you what faith isn't. It's not a mental acknowledgement. James 2:19, I believe it is, says, you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know, just knowing that God exists or knowing that Jesus did what he did, it's not going to help you. Faith is trust. Trust. And the kind of trust we're looking for is trust. I'll give you an example. Best example I know. Pull out a chair, look at it. You know what? I believe that chair will hold me. I do. And I can put my keys in that chair. I can put my wallet in that chair. I can put a family member in that chair. But that chair ain't holding me until I sit in the chair. It's the same way with Jesus Christ. I can trust God with my finances. I can trust him with my family. I can trust him with any aspect of my life. But unless I'm trusting Jesus Christ with my soul, myself, then there's no help for me. How do you receive it? By faith. By trust. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation you almost want to say it's both hard and complicated. It's complicated because people don't want to release their involvement in it, and there is no we in salvation. It's all God. It's all Christ. All we do is have faith. We turn from our sin, ask God to forgive us of our sins, and trust Him for salvation. That's all we do. And when I say turn from our sin, I don't mean works. I just mean it's an attitude. Put your soul in His care. Let Him be Lord of your life. Put Him in charge.
Okay, wow. The important thing I'm going to tie in with our main topic today is that we can't do it on our own. We need help. But let's look at this final passage, because even though we can't do it on our own, it's an ongoing battle through this life until the day we're glorified to be with Him. So let's see what Paul says about being saved. Go on to this last section, verse 21 to the end, which is verse 25. In verse 21, so I find it to be a law of when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Wow. I got to pause right there. There's only one verse into it. I got to stop. I'm reminded of Cain and Abel in the Garden of Eden. What happened? Okay. And actually, Cain was upset first. And God came to him and said, you know, gave him a warning. He says, don't do this thing. Sin is crouching at the door. So Cain knew the right thing. God himself tried to warn him of the right thing. But sin was more appealing to him, and he went out and killed his brother. And this is the way Paul is saying this is. We have the choice to do right, the choice to desire right, but the sinful nature that is ingrained into our flesh pulls us in the wrong direction. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is how you get out of it, right there. But he continues. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Dun, dun, dun. What is he saying there? He says, wretched man that I am, I can't do this. Who will rescue me? Thank goodness, thank God for Jesus. I'm serving him with my mind, but my body's not. What does this mean? It means that yes, we are saved once for all, saved to eternal salvation, eternal security. But while we're in this life, life is a constant struggle, and it's not any better for Christians. In fact, sometimes it may be worse, because as a Christian, you know a lot more than you did before you became a believer. Before you was a believer, you did all kinds of things that the Bible says weren't right, but you didn't know the Bible says they weren't right, and to you, they were right. But once you become a Christian and you start to learn
God standards, then you start to learn that, oh my goodness, I was doing such horrible things. So even though we know that we want to desire God more than anything, our physical bodies are just so weak. It's an ongoing struggle. Now, does that mean we're a failure? No, it just means we're human. It means we're alive. If you take one breath, I gotta take more. You can't just take the one breath and have be good for all. I mean, that's kind of maybe a weak illustration, because God's eternal security lasts longer than a breath of air. But in this human bodies, our bodies crave a constant input of oxygen, of water, of food, and we have a constant output of waste products, carbon dioxide, and we'll leave the others unsaid. But that's what we are as humans. That's all we can do. That's all we can make is waste. I never thought about that way, but sure. So the principle here that believers especially will have to deal with every day is that, yes, you are victorious over sin. But you're victorious over sin because Jesus was. Where we're weak and we can't do it, we can realize that He can.
Can you answer the following questions for your children or for the person to whom you are witnessing? Number one, is the New Testament reliable? Two, can you explain the Trinity to me? Three, how is Jesus both God and man? And a slew of other questions you will be able to answer if you get Andrew Rappaport's new book, What Do We Believe? It will help you a ton. Get your copy at whatdowebelievebook.com, whatdowebelievebook.com.
Did you know that Striving Fraternity provides speakers and seminars that we would come to your church and disciple your people? We have seminars on the Bible interpretation made easy, creation science, evangelism, presuppositional apologetics, even on sexual abuse. These are just some of the many things that we could provide for your church. Consider inviting one of our speakers to your church. You can contact us at speaker@strivingforeternity.org.
Ding dong! Jehovah's Witnesses. Ding dong! Mormons. Christian, are you ready to defend the faith when false religions ring your doorbell? Do you know what your Muslim and Jewish friends believe? You will if you get Andrew Rappaport's book, What Do They Believe? When we witness to people, we need to present the truth, but it is very wise to know what they believe, and you will get Andrew Rappaport's book at whatdothaybelieve.com.
And that, my friends, is our entire show. And thanks again for that fine word from our fellow podcasters at Christian Podcast Community and the great features you'll find there and other great shows. I just can't say enough about the folks that are there. So this is all I got. This is your host, Keith, wrapping it all up, saying thanks for listening. Tell a friend about us, because that really is how we grow the most. Now, you can leave comments on your favorite social medias. We really would appreciate that, too. And if you do, because I can't follow all of them, drop me a line, send me an email, drop me a voicemail, let me know. Make a contact that way, and it would definitely reach me. Guaranteed to be email or voicemail. Anyway, as mentioned, signing off. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HPNcast, capital H, capital P, capital N, capital C, AST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectors of the book. Music on the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May God richly bless you. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.